Well, the Premier League is back following the international break, and it promises to be another big weekend. The biggest rivalry in English football is also back for its 217th meeting as Liverpool and Manchester United go head-to-head. Meanwhile, the blue halves of Manchester and Merseyside also do battle on Saturday, while leaders Arsenal face another London derby. We've got it all covered on this week's Assist. To the Assist in association with freesupertips.com, your home for daily football hackers and bet builders. I'm Warren Ashurst, and I'm delighted to say I've been joined by James Milton and Dan Charles to talk through their thoughts and tips going into the latest round of Premier League and EFL fixtures. Don't forget, of course, as ever, to interact with us and give us your thoughts on the Racing Post YouTube channel. And before we get stuck into the action this week, one of the Racing Post's most popular videos of the year is back on Monday. The big jump off, giving you everything you need for the upcoming jump season. David Jennings, Paul Keighley, Tom Sigal and Johnny Dineen are all in the Racing Post studio for what's bound to be another cracking show. Monday the 20th of October at 6 p.m. on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Not to be missed for those horse racing fans. We're going to turn our attentions though to football now. And as ever, we'll go through the Premier League fixtures in order of importance, and we'll start with the 4:30 kickoff on Sunday. We've already briefly touched upon the 217th meeting between Liverpool and Manchester United takes place at Anfield on Sunday. Milts, we'll start with you with this one. Obviously, Liverpool looking to try and bounce back after a little bit of a shaky patch before the international break. What sort of difference do you think that break will have made?
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it? I mean, I think you can spin it two ways. You know, sometimes managers just want to keep going if they're on a poor trot and just, you know, get it out of the system. I actually think this will be a nice little reset for Liverpool. And I think this is a great fixture for them to come back to. You know, Anfield will be rocking. We all know about the rivalry with Manchester United. And Liverpool's defeats, of course, at Palace and Galatasaray and then Chelsea all came away from home. They've won 5 out of 5 at Anfield, including that important win against Arsenal, who are now title favourites. So I think home advantage will help Liverpool end that mini slump that they had before the international break.
Seems like a weekly affair now, Dan, that we talk about Ruben Amorim and his position. And obviously, the home performances have improved greatly. But if he is going to turn this around and keep his job, things need to start picking up on the road as well.
Well, yeah, United have been poor away from home for a long time now. I think it was 4 Premier League away wins last season, no winning 8 Premier League away games now, you know, concluding the end of last season and the start of this. And you go outside of the league and that absolute disaster at Grimsby as well in the EFL Cup. So Liverpool have obviously had their, you know, well, maybe, who knows, maybe the sticky patch will continue. But I think I agree with James. I think that break has probably come at a good time for Liverpool. They are strong at home, and it still is one of the toughest places to go in the Premier League. And with that really poor away form for United, it's not the ideal venue for them to be heading to.
Just looking at the stats a little bit earlier on, James, and 3 out of the last 4 meetings have seen both teams score. With both defences the way that they've kind of been in recent months, can you see there being goals in this one?
Yeah, I think so. I think there may be more late drama, actually. We've come to expect that from Liverpool. Mm. Obviously, they were scoring all those late winners early on and then conceded later at Palace and Chelsea. So from a betting angle, I like the look of the draw half-time, Liverpool to be winning at full-time. The last two meetings at Anfield actually were goalless at the break. And even when Liverpool won that game 7-0 three seasons ago, that game was still 0-0 up until the 43rd minute. So I think, you know, United could dig in for the first half, but I think they will be outclassed by Liverpool as the game goes on. Yeah, Dan mentioned United's away performances. You know, the last two lost at Manchester City. A really pathetic display at Brentford as well. And I think, as I said earlier, I think this is a great chance for Liverpool to get back to winning ways.
Yeah, for United, I suppose it's a case, Dan, of trying to hang in there as long as they can and maybe try and sneak a result. How do you see this going?
Yeah, I'm sure that'll be the plan, but I just don't see that they've got the resilience to cope with this game. You know, James has mentioned them last two you know, away games in the league, conceding three at Brentford, three at Man City, you know, really went under in both games. And the one before that, the away game before that was the Grimsby game. They just don't, away from home, you just don't fancy them at the moment to dig in against the team. And Liverpool have, despite all the changes that have happened in the summer, they've got a hell of a lot to, in an attacking sense. Ekitike's hit the ground running, and Isak and Wirtz were still kind of waiting to, you know, for them to spark at the moment, but it's going to happen sooner or later. You know, maybe it'll be the moment for them this weekend.
So having said all that then, Dan, how do you see this one going then on Sunday?
I can see a comfortable Liverpool win. Going to go with Liverpool -1 on the Asian handicap. So if they win by a single goal, you get your stakes returned. Anything more than a single goal win, is a winning bet and a decent price, I think, around evens. I think the game at Chelsea, he probably made the change at half time. I'm not sure about it. He should have done it when he brought Wirtz on. Szoboszlai to right back, emptied the midfield a bit. I thought they were worse actually in the second half than they were in the first. I think he'll have learnt from that. He'll be a bit more solid from the start, but he'll kick on eventually and go on and get a comfortable win.
Okay, well, both Dan and James feeling that Liverpool will come out on top. It's another Manchester against Merseyside clash on our second game of the week. It's a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday at the Etihad, where Manchester City take on Everton. And I think City obviously starting to flow a little bit more like we maybe expected earlier in the season, Dan, in terms of recent performances and particularly Haaland. And Everton won't be able to call upon Jack Grealish this weekend.
Yes, I mean, Grealish is a big blow for, you know, a massive blow, obviously, for Everton. It's probably been their best player this season. Provides that kind of extra spark that goes along with the kind of the good organisation and the physicality that Everton normally brings to the table. And from City's point of view, they are starting to put a run together now. I mean, you look at 7 games now unbeaten, haven't lost since the end of August. That includes the, you know, good 1-1 draw to go at Arsenal, nearly hung on for the victory there. The tactics were very different to what we're used to seeing from City, but at home they are still dominating games. The last 3 home games, they've won all of them with an aggregate score of 10-1 in their favour. I just think Everton, they're generally well organised, but they're going to miss the kind of the spark of Grealish, and I wouldn't be surprised if they fail to score here. Everton, there'll be a bit of a threat from set pieces, but you wonder how many of them are they going to get in a game that City are likely to dominate with possession and territory. So I'm going to go over a low scoring Manchester City victory here. City and under 3.5 goals.
Yeah, just to let you know, the City are 2-5 to claim the win here. Everton 13-2 and the draw 15-4. Probably backing up a little bit what Dan mentioned there, James, is that we think that Jarrod Branthwaite might be back for Everton. Michael Keane is struggling with an injury, so it could be a like-for-like swap. Whoever's playing centre-back, though, is going to face a tough challenge.
Yeah, I mean, Haaland's been in extraordinary form, even by his high standards, this season. And yeah, I think as punters, you can occasionally get a bit hung up about team news and, you know, who's missing or whatever. But I think Grealish missing for Everton is huge, as we've mentioned. You know, he bundled in that fortunate late winner against Palace last time out. He'd set up 4 of Everton's other 8 league goals this season. And he is, you know, virtually irreplaceable, I think, when you look at the Everton squad. So, I'm with Dan in this one. I like the look of City to win to nil, actually. Kept clean sheets in 5 of their 6 wins in all competitions this season. I'm a bit stung by the exception, which I was all over them to win 2-0 against Burnley, and they won 5-1 in the end. Burnley, I think, had 2 shots on target and scored with one of them. I think, you know, we've seen this more pragmatic side to City this season. I think they'll need that against Everton, who, as Dan mentioned, are very well organised. But I just think without Grealish, I think the Toffees lack a certain je ne sais quoi going forward, and I think City will stand firm.
Okay, well, we're going to switch back to Sunday again now for the third game in the Premier League feature, and that is the clash between Tottenham and Aston Villa. A 2 o'clock kickoff on Sunday at the Tottenham Hotspur Stadium, and Spurs are 11-10 to claim the win. It's 11-5 Villa, and the draw 11-4. Much better from Villa, Milts, in the last couple of weeks. They actually look like they've now started to click into gear.
Yeah, results have been better, obviously, won their last 4 games now. I'm still reluctant to jump aboard the bandwagon. I think, you know, they've not really faced anyone particularly serious opposition this season. You know, their wins have come against Bologna and Feyenoord in the Europa League. when you look at the outright betting for that competition, they're expected to dominate most of their opponents there. And they've beaten Fulham and Burnley in the Premier League. You know, the Fulham game, they fell behind early. Probably a bit fortunate that Raul Jimenez got injured after scoring that goal. So I'm not entirely convinced. I know Dan has his reservations about Tottenham as well. It looks like a trappy game, but I'm siding with Spurs. You know, Villa, this is their first game against one of the big six. They've only actually played one of the current top six in the Premier League, and that was a 3-0 home defeat to Crystal Palace. So I'm going to be going for Tottenham, but not with a great amount of faith, I must admit.
I mean, the results would suggest so, Dan, but is it fair to say that Spurs have looked better on the road than they have done at home this season?
Yes, and I think there's good reason for that. I think with Maddison and Kulusevski's being out of the picture at the moment, there is a real lack of creativity, and that affects Spurs, I think, a lot more in home games when the onus is on them to have the ball and open teams up than away from home, when they can sit in a bit more and hit on the counter-attack. You look at the last two home games in the Premier League for Spurs, the Wolves game, the most recent one, the 1-1, they were really lucky to get a draw in that game. Wolves, you know, were completely dominant, certainly in the second half. And the game before that was a 1-0 loss at home to Bournemouth, who absolutely, you know, battered Spurs, really, and probably should have won by more goals. I look at their last three games overall for Spurs, you know, last time out, got a big 3 points at Leeds, but you know, Leeds probably had the more territory and certainly one on the shot count. The Spurs' two goals were both deflected, so you know, had a bit of luck on their side there. Two games before that, Bodo Glimt away, they were awful, and then the Wolves game that I mentioned previously. Villa, I know they've not beaten a lot in this run, but four games in a row, it has to give any team some confidence. The temptation to go Villa or draw double chance or maybe even to win the game. But as James has mentioned, that they haven't played, you know, some fantastic teams. I can just see a close, tight game here. And I think the draw in those circumstances looks overpriced.
OK, well, we're going to head to an all-London affair next. It is the 5:30 kickoff on Saturday as Fulham play host to Arsenal, the league leaders, with Fulham 9-2 to claim the victory. It's 8-15 Arsenal and 100-30, the draw here. We did find out, of course, Dan, this week that Martin Odegaard is again facing another spell on the sidelines. It just seems to be that when Arsenal are getting into a bit of rhythm and a bit of a run, that they end up getting hit by or stung by an injury which can cause them major problems.
Yes, but they've got probably a stronger squad this year than they've had for a long time, and they're coping. They cope without Saka when he was out, you know, early stages of the season. I think Saliba, you know, had a bit of a miss for a game or two. They cope without him. And I just think that they have got, at the moment, the mentality and the quality to you know, sometimes it's not always about the players that are out. You've got to look at who's coming in, and they've got, you know, they've got quality players coming into those positions. And I think they'll probably have a bit too much for Fulham. Now, I wouldn't be piling into them on an acca, because a game after an international break is always, I'm kind of always not sure about piling into a team for what is a tricky away fixture at odds on. Fulham, last two home games against Arsenal, I think they've got 4 points. So it's been a tricky venue for Arsenal in recent seasons. Having said that, they've lost the last two games 3-1. Fulham lost at Villa and Bournemouth, and the run that they're on, and Arsenal kind of the run that they're on, they're always finding ways to win, and deservedly so most of the times. I think they'll get a win here, but maybe in a tight fashion. Going to go with Arsenal to win by one goal at 13-5.
Okay, well, Milt, you, I'm sure, have been keeping a very close eye on Arsenal so far this season. I mean, a lot of talk at the moment about how they compare to the last couple of seasons. Where do you think they're at the moment?
Yeah, I think that the early signs are promising. You know, won 8 of their first 10 games, and the only blots on that record were the defeat at Liverpool, where Mikel Arteta was, I think, probably rightly criticised for not having a real go at the champions. And then the home game against Manchester City, where again, I think maybe Arteta was a bit surprised by Pep Guardiola's change of tactics, and you know, Arsenal got away with it with a late equaliser. But you know, these games like this, you know, Dan mentioned Arsenal struggled at Craven Cottage the last two seasons. I think they're going to have to work hard for the points. But as we saw in that win at Newcastle, you know, they do have the character and the belief to dig deep. I quite like the look of a 2-1 Arsenal win, actually. Both teams have scored in 6 of the last 7 meetings. That includes a couple of 2-1 victories for the Gunners. And as Dan mentioned, you know, Fulham lost at Villa, who were winless before then lost again at Bournemouth. And that's a little bit of a soft touch in both of those games. And I can't see them tripping up Arsenal this weekend.
I think it was Mark who mentioned a couple of weeks ago that it won't be long until there's a how many stepovers will Kevin do in a match, and maybe that might be one to look out for in terms of this week's game with Arsenal. We're going to turn our attentions to a match which, no disrespect to Crystal Palace and Bournemouth, might ordinarily be further down the list, but these two teams sat inside the top 6 at the moment and both go head-to-head at 3 o'clock on Saturday. Palace 6-5 to claim the win, Bournemouth 9-4. And the draw 12-5. Hard one to call this, Milt, I would suggest. I mean, both of these two teams look like they could well be top 6 teams come the end of the season.
Absolutely. I mean, two really impressive sides. You know, not flash in the pan this from either of them. Obviously, Palace had that memorable season winning the FA Cup. And Bournemouth played some terrific football last season as well. Maybe just kind of ran out of steam in the race for Europe. But yeah, I think it's going to be a really interesting game. Instinctively looking at the prices, Palace look a touch short. I think you know, Dan spoke earlier about how impressive Bournemouth were in that away win at Tottenham, and you know, I wouldn't be steaming into Palace at short odds. The bet that stands out for me actually is Antoine Semenyo to score at any time. You know, I think only Haaland has scored more goals than him in the league this season. He's got 6 goals. He's an absolute shot machine, as any kind of bet builder punters over the past couple of years will have spotted. Scored 4 times in his last 4 league appearances. And just looking at the last season's meetings between these sides, we both finished 0-0, but Semenyo had 8 shots over the 2 games. I think he may well be able to get on the score sheet at Selhurst Park.
Putting you on the spot a little bit here, Dan, but if you were picking between both Palace and Bournemouth at the moment and you were talking about a top 6 finish and only one of them could finish in the top 6, which one would you think is more likely at this stage?
Bournemouth for me. I think they've got a little bit more depth and the fact they haven't got to play in Europe as well will help them out. I think Palace right now, though, I mean, I know they lost the game at Everton last time out, but fantastic start for them, coping really well without Eze. I do feel in home games, though, that they kind of miss Eze's creative spark. They've already had a draw 1-1 at home to Forest and 0-0 against Sunderland. So maybe that they do lack a bit of a, you know, his creativity to open teams up in home games. But I also feel that Palace are just the sort of team that can restrict Bournemouth with, you know, with their strong defence, well organised, and they're a team I think that Bournemouth may struggle to get their offensive game going. Now, having said that, I don't want to like Paul Coldwater and get everybody to expect a poor game, but I'm sure there'll be plenty of quality on show, but I don't see a lot of goals. So that kind of feeds into my prediction between two evenly matched teams. Going to go with a draw.
Okay, well, up next, it's a big game, arguably at the bottom end of the table. It certainly will be, you'd think, come the end of the season, because Burnley face Leeds at 3 o'clock at Turf Moor on Saturday. Burnley 11-5 to win this battle of the sides that faced off in the Championship, of course, last season. Leeds are 5-4 and the draw is 23-10. It's already looking like a massive game, Dan, for Burnley in particular, because you can't afford to slip too far behind at this stage.
No, this is one of them games. I actually think Leeds have got a much better chance of staying up, but I'm going to go with Burnley to win this game. I just think it is a home form for Burnley is absolutely crucial. And at the moment, at home, they're not doing too badly. You know, they've got the win against Sunderland, you know, another fellow newly promoted team. The draw against Nottingham Forest, and only, you know, we're down to 10 men and then conceded with that penalty in injury time against Liverpool. So that's the only Premier League home defeat this season. And you know, you look at the form last season between these two, Burnley did actually take 4 points as well. So I just think that I think Leeds have got a better chance to start. A lot of that is due to Elland Road. I think they're going to pile up quite a few points at home. I know they got a good away win, deserved away win at Wolves, but I'm not sure they'll get lots and lots of points on the road. And this is still a tough trip for them. And at the prices, I just think Burnley, in a close game, draw no bet, odds against, I'm prepared to take that.
Okay, I mean, I suppose I would say that probably quite a few of the Leeds fans, Milt, slightly concerned about the tactics from Daniel Farke, especially when they go away from home. I just wonder whether he throws the dice here and decides to try and go at Burnley, or whether he thinks actually a point's not a bad result.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, won't it? I mean, it's almost like the game that we'll cover later, Sunderland-Wolves, where you think, you know, both teams are going to be thinking this is a great opportunity for 3 points. I think Dan's spot on about home form for both of these clubs. And, you know, Leeds, impressive at Elland Road against Bournemouth and Tottenham, two decent sides in their last couple of games. But, you know, they lost 5-0 at Arsenal, lost 1-0 at Fulham with that late own goal. And I just think, you know, you look at the way these sides defended in last season's championship, conceded 46 goals in 92 games between them. And I just think it's going to be a tight, cagey affair. You know, I think Burnley's attack has been shown up already in the top flight. You know, we didn't have great expectations. Lyle Foster, their striker, is an injury doubt after international duty. So I think the odds about one or both teams not to score are really appealing, around 4-5 in this one.
Well, we move on to a next game where the manager clearly is under a huge amount of pressure, and another has lifted the pressure on himself in recent weeks, and that's Nottingham Forest against Chelsea in Saturday's early kickoff. Big Ange really up against it at the moment, having taken over, of course, from Nuno Espirito Santo. Chelsea with Enzo Maresca getting that big win against Liverpool last time out. Forest 13-5 to win Saturday's lunchtime kickoff. It's 9-10 the visitors, and 14-5 the draw. James, at the moment, it's hard to see a way out for Ange Postecoglou and Nottingham Forest. It's almost like you sense that the players haven't really bought into this.
It's been such a strange start, hasn't it? Because, I mean, a real frantic start. I mean, so he's winless in 7 games in 3 competitions, and those games were played in the space of 23 days, I think. 5 of them were away from home. I think there are excuses for him. You know, those away games included trips to Arsenal and Newcastle, and then Real Betis, who are a really decent side in the Europa League, and they got a 2-2 draw there. But, you know, I'm making excuses for him. I'm not sure if the Forest fans, or more significantly, the owner, are going to accept any excuses. And it is a really, really important game for Ange. You know, we're wondering whether he'd even be in charge of this match after the international break. You know, they got rid of Nuno in September. But, you know, at time of recording, he is still Forest boss. And it's such a difficult game because Chelsea's still beset with injuries. I'm wary of the sudden shift in narrative of that late winner against Liverpool. You know, without that, it would have been 9 points from 7 league games for them, and Maresca would have been under huge pressure. I'm sitting on the fence in this one. I'm going to go for the draw at a big price. But, yeah, it's going to be a fascinating start to the weekend.
I mean, a lot of people, Dan, were mentioning just the huge shift you expected from the way that Nuno plays football to the way that Ange wants his teams to play. Is it as straightforward as that, the problems that they're having?
I think you've got, as James has just mentioned, it's a very small sample size. I mean, with 7 fixtures, yes, only four Premier League games, you know, one of them was, the first of those was a trip to Arsenal. So I just think he's, that whatever your opinion is, I think him going in there at that time and replacing a manager that was so popular with fans, whoever that was, it was going to be so important, more important than usual for a new manager to get a decent start. I think when you're replacing a guy that the fans didn't want to leave, yeah, you're on a bit of a hide into nothing, really. I think it's harsh that he's already under this much pressure and supposedly close to losing his job. But I think given the huge pressure on him, that pressure will also be felt by the players, and I think that will make Chelsea's job easier. I think Forest's performances are probably getting worse. If anything, you look at the limp defeat at Newcastle. The game before that, I thought they were even worse against Midtjylland in the Europa League. You know, that was a really poor result and performance. And I just think Chelsea, they've got loads and loads of injuries, but they've also got a pretty deep squad. Possibility that Cole Palmer could be back after he was rested. But even whether he is or he isn't, I thought that Liverpool game, you might look back at that as a turning point. I know they were poor going into it, but I thought they were well-deserved winners, finished the game really strong. A lot of the, you know, younger players there stepped up. And I can see them kicking on from this. And I think at a shade of odds on against a team under so much pressure, I would take that, Chelsea to win.
Okay, we're going to move on next to a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. And it takes place at the Amex Stadium, where Brighton come up against Newcastle. Brighton 31-20 to claim the win. Newcastle 6-4 and the draw 13-5. Have Newcastle unearthed a bit of a gem in Voltimada? Danny seems to be fanning the net on regular occasions now for both club and country.
I think it's early days, isn't it? There was at least one penalty, you know, in there. You know, got his goal for Germany as well, didn't he? Big goal for Germany in the win against Northern Ireland. I'd like to see a little bit more, you know, before I would give a proper verdict on him. But certainly a bright start for him, which was needed, you know, with the gap there with Isak leaving. This game in particular, I can see a close game. Newcastle are certainly improving at the moment. Came back well, didn't they, from that loss to Arsenal, where they played, you're playing against a top team. They've responded with a very good 4-0 win against Union Saint-Gilloise in the Champions League, and then the 2-0 win over Forest. So they're going in the right direction. But so are Brighton. They're four games unbeaten in all competitions. Come back to get a decent 1-1 draw away to Wolves last time out. Game before that, they won 3-1 at Chelsea. So they're improving as well. I just think these teams are what? Brighton are 12th, Newcastle are 11th, both improving. Close game. I'm going to go with a draw.
Yeah, it does look difficult on paper to call this one, Milt. You know, two teams who are capable of beating anybody on the day.
Yeah, absolutely. And, I'm boldly going against the trend in this one. Newcastle's first three away fixtures all ended 0-0. So I'm confidently going for over 2.5 goals. I just say, you know, as Dan said, Newcastle have found their scoring touch recently. Really good away win in Belgium in the Champions League. And, you know, they had that dramatic 3-2 defeat to Liverpool. Played well in the defeat to Arsenal as well. So maybe the better the opponents they face, the more entertaining their games are. And I think Brighton are a decent side. I think it's going to be hard for Newcastle to avoid getting drawn into an open game. And Brighton as well, you know, fear no one. Won at Chelsea, beat Manchester City earlier this season. You know, drew 2-2 with Tottenham in their last home game. So I think this should be an entertaining one.
Okay, two more games left to go then in this round of Premier League fixtures, and we head to the Stadium of Light next for a big game between Sunderland and Wolves. A 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday, this one. Sunderland 7-5 to claim the win, 21-10 Wolves, and the draw 2-1. James, we'll focus firstly on Wolves, because we've already mentioned a couple of times they've put in some decent performances in the last few weeks, but they still can't quite get that, you know, boosting win that they need maybe to sort of kick him in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, taken in isolation, 1-1 draws with Tottenham and Brighton are really good results for a team, you know, in a survival battle. But, you know, they let slip leads in those games and you know, still 2 points from seven matches. So they are under pressure. I just think the context of this game means it should end up quite an entertaining contest, because, you know, Sunderland have already got 11 points in the bag. I mean, I think even the most optimistic Black Cats fans probably wouldn't have dreamed of that at this stage. And they can play with a bit of freedom. And Wolves, you know, must be looking at this game as a chance to get that first league win of the season. So I like the look of both teams to score at around evens. Yeah, Sunderland, we spoke about Burnley and Leeds' home form. Sunderland scored 6 goals in their 3 home games. Both teams scored in 2 of those matches. And yeah, I think this could be another lively one.
Where Wolves are at the moment, Dan, is it too early to start panicking in terms of the Molyneux faithful? Have they shown enough to suggest they can still turn this around?
Yeah, I think they can, and I think they will. I don't see Wolves being relegated. What I've seen from them recently, I mean, you can talk about the horrendous run they've been on, you know, without winning the league, you know, going back to towards the end of last season. But I'm looking at the last few performances. The club showed a lot of faith, by the way, in the manager by increasing his contract. And the players performance-wise are responding. They had a very good cup win at home to Everton. Then the game at Spurs, they should have won that game. Excellent performance. Sometimes you don't get what you deserve. Led again, you know, it's going to be hugely frustrating that they've led again and conceded late again against Brighton. But the performances are definitely going the right way. Strand Larsen, who was missing earlier in the season, he's back in the fold for them now. And Sunderland, I just think, even though at the moment they're 9 points above Wolves, I think Wolves will finish higher over the by the end of the season. The loss at Man United is going to be, you know, been a bit of a knockback for them before the break, and I just think they've kind of been coming from behind late on, haven't they? They fell behind against Brentford and got a couple of late goals to win. The West Ham game at home was 0-0 for a long time until they kind of got a lot of late goals. I'm still not fully convinced by them. And Wolves, with the improvement they're showing, I think they'll crack it this week. I think they'll get the win. Wolves draw no bet for me.
Did see an interesting stat this week that said in the last 10 seasons, every promoted side with 11 plus points after 10 games has survived. Just two of the 18 sides with fewer have stayed up, which is Bournemouth and Nottingham Forest. So, you know, getting off to a decent start is often a big bonus to your attempts to stay in the top flight. But Wolves have started to show a little bit of resilience over the last few weeks, and we'll see how that will turn out. Also, another team who could do with showing a bit of resilience is West Ham, and they feature in our final game of the Premier League roundup as they face Brentford at Molineux on Monday, an 8 o'clock kickoff for this one. And of course, it will mean that the West Ham fans get to see the new manager for the first time after Graham Potter departed the scene and Nuno was brought in. How do you see that one going, Dan? Was it the sort of archetypal get him in quickly whilst he's available scenario?
Possibly, yes, but I just think as well that partly, you know, the whole mood of the fans, that often when the fans go after the owners, you know, generally a manager gets a sack. That's what happened there. It was sped up a little bit by the fact that Nuno was available, but I just think at the moment, with that toxic atmosphere, I'm not sure. I think West Ham fans could be probably more interested in barracking the owners than they are in welcoming their new manager. And that's not going to help the players on the pitch. I just think as well, he's gone into not just a tough job with the reaction of the crowd. I just think the group that he's inherited as well. You look at some of the forwards, Callum Wilson and Paul Kruger, just so injury prone. There's a hell of a lot of reliance on Jarrod Bowen to kind of do the business for them up front. I think Brentford, despite what they lost in attacking areas in the summer, I think they've got quite a bit more potency in attack. And they've actually started, I know they've had two wins and four defeats, but I think performance-wise, Brentford have probably done better than a lot of people would have expected. Won't be as much pressure on them going into this game. They can kind of feed off the negative atmosphere. And if they score first, I just think they'll go on and win the game. Going to go with Brentford, draw no better odds against.
Just to run you through the prices, West Ham 29-20 to claim the win, Brentford 9-5 and the draw 12-5. How do you see this one going, Miltz?
Yeah, I like Brentford as well. You know, almost 2-1. I think they're worth chancing in the match betting. Echo what Dan says about the atmosphere at West Ham. You know, they've never got any new manager bounce when Potter arrived at the start of the year. And I fear for Nuno as well. I think they're probably a team that you want to be, you know, backing at bigger odds away from home. You know, obviously, as rain started with a 1-1 draw at Everton, not a bad result. 2-0 loss at Arsenal. I mean, West Ham, we mentioned their attacking weakness and they failed to register a shot on target there. And you just look at them and you know, Dan's mentioned their attacking options. You just feel like, you know, when it's up to them to take the initiative in a home fixture like this, where they are favourites, you just don't really fancy them at all. And I think Brentford can you know, keep it tight, box clever, and pick up a win. You know, beat Manchester United 3-1. That was an excellent display. You know, competitive against Manchester City, only lost 1-0. You know, things could have been very different if Thiago had taken that one-on-one chance at the start of the second half. But yeah, I think it's a decent opportunity for Brentford to take advantage of the atmosphere at the London Stadium.
Okay, well, that is the Premier League covered then for this week. Up next, it's your Fantasy Premier League update, and then we'll discuss all matters EFL. So it's FPL time again now, and Tom Hill is back with his suggestions of which players to go with across the different positions in game week 8.
Another international break is in the rearview mirror, and game week 8 is the first of 4 weeks to plan for before the next stoppage for international football. The fixtures start to favour the likes of Arsenal, Chelsea, Crystal Palace and Liverpool for the next few weeks, while it could be a tough couple of game weeks for Aston Villa and Sunderland. It looks like all premium assets that headed off on international duty have avoided major injuries, so let's take a look at the three best outfield players for the week. The theme of the week looking ahead is premiums. Our defender recommendation for game week 8 is Gabriel, priced at 6.3 million. The Brazilian was our pick and many people's fancy in game week 7. He returned 9 points to make it 22 from 2 game weeks. Arsenal face Fulham this weekend, and according to the data experts, they have a 43% chance of keeping a clean sheet. The Gunners have the best XG against that in the league at 4.3 after 7 games. David Raya has already kept 4 clean sheets this season. The Cottagers have avoided defeat in their last two against Arsenal at Craven Cottage, but Marco Silva's men have scored 8 goals in 7 games this season. Gabriel has another solid chance of securing a clean sheet, and his aerial threat from set pieces is always going to tempt managers into picking him. In midfield, Chelsea's Enzo Fernandez was a real option for us against a hapless Nottingham Forest since Ange Postecoglou took charge, but his recent knee injury forces us to look elsewhere. He might be the most transferred player out this week, but Mohamed Salah at £14.4 million could make all those managers regret that decision. Compared to his usual standards, Salah has scored 34 points in 7 weeks, and while he has last scored in game week 4, he faces Manchester United this weekend. The Red Devils have an expected goals allowed figure of 9.9 under Ruben Amorim so far, and Salah has a tremendous record against Sunday's opponents, having scored 13 goals and secured 6 assists in just 15 starts. He's frustrated managers so far, but this could be the best time to back him in a plum home fixture as most of the FPL world lose faith. For the third week in a row, Erling Haaland is our striker pick of the week. He's now priced at £14.5 million, but Manchester City are expected to score the second most goals this week behind Liverpool as Pep Guardiola's side faced Everton at home. Haaland has scored in 5 consecutive matches, taking his tally to 9 for the season. In a boost for City, Haaland was sent home from international duty early. There's no worry of him being fatigued. While David Moyes' side will expect to hold firm at the back for large periods, the thought of not owning Haaland in this vein of form is a horrible prospect. Game week 8 captaincy is simple once again this week. For those that own Haaland, he's a safe option against a Toffees team that have conceded 5 of their 7 goals this season away from home. He's also scored 3 goals in City's last 3 home matches against Everton, and there's no evidence or data to suggest he's about to regress anytime soon. Alternatively, Mohamed Salah's tasty home fixture against Manchester United and the huge sales of the Egyptian could mean this is a great week to be a little bit different. If he holds, as he usually does, against the Red Devils, managers could find themselves on the rise in their mini-leagues. United have conceded 7 times in 3 away games, and with people starting to question his form, it would be very typical of Salah to make a massive statement as Liverpool look to get back on track.
Well, a big thanks then to Tom Hill for his FPL update. We're going to dip into the EFL now, and without a shadow of a doubt, the biggest story in the EFL over the last week or so has been the managerial change at Luton. Matt Bloomfield has gone and has been replaced by a high-profile addition in Jack Wilshere. Firstly, Dan, what do you make of that decision? Firstly, to get rid of Bloomfield, and secondly, to bring in Wilshere?
You could argue that Bloomfield, you know, could have had a bit more time. He's kind of inherited a tricky situation in the Championship last season. They went down, but they picked up quite a lot of points towards the end of the season. It's just because a lot of the teams around them were responding as well. I think Derby went on an amazing run towards the end of the season. I think they went down on 50 points, which is. You know, so you could say that he didn't do a terrible job when he came in, even though they went down, which is strange to say. And in this season, you know, a lot of change in the squad. That clearly, Luton, with their budget and being a Premier League team a couple of seasons ago, are going to expect to be right towards the top of League One. But it doesn't always work out, you know, that way that you get a quick start. So, personally, I would have given him a bit more time. If you're going to replace him, look, Jack Wilshere may turn out to be, an excellent manager. He's had a coaching spell, at Norwich. But I just think that to get this job at this stage. I think it's a big gamble Luton are taking. If you're going to replace the guy, I would have been like, Richie Wellens was linked with a job. Who's done an unbelievable job at Leighton Orient. He would have been a guy that I would have gone for. But now we'll have to see what happens.
Milton, I was going to ask you quickly about this because you've seen a lot of Jack Wilshere as a player. But I don't think anybody, probably at the age that he's at now, was probably expecting him to be sort of turned into a manager.
Yeah, I mean, his career, sadly, was kind of on fast forward, wasn't it, because of all those injuries. So you know, maybe he's had, yeah, he is still very young, but he's had a long time to start thinking about his decisions post-playing career. And yeah, I mean, I was reading quotes about players he played with that saying that, you know, even as a teenager, he had that kind of tactical awareness, and you saw it as a player, you know, all too infrequently, sadly. But you know, I was at the game when he was 18 and ran the show against Barcelona, and yeah, so wish him all the best. But yeah, I think Dan's right. It's given the pre-season expectations at Luton, it's a big job to go into for your first role.
Stark contrast. He featured against Barcelona as a player. He was up against Mansfield on Saturday afternoon at Kenilworth Road. It'll be interesting to see how Luton get on in that one. Time now to look at Dan's best bets across the EFL. And Dan, we'll start off in the Championship. Which game are we looking at here?
I'm going to go with Derby. Draw no bet to win away to Oxford. There's only sort of a 2-point gap between these teams. Derby got 2 points more, but they're showing more positive signs. 3 draws in a row. 1-1 draw at home to Southampton before the international break, where they went toe-to-toe with a Southampton team. While they've started slow, I do think they're going to be one of the main promotion contenders. So that was a good performance from Derby. Oxford gone 3 games without a win. I watched their game at Watford before the break. Watford were on the, you know, on the brink of sacking another manager, but which obviously we didn't mention in the management segment because it just happens so often anyway. But I think Oxford in that game against the Watford team that haven't been playing that well and a bit disjointed, I was actually quite disappointed with Oxford. They took the lead early and then really subsided. So I just think Derby, given the improvement that I've seen recently going to Oxford, I think odds against draw no bet, I think is a good bet there for Derby.
You just briefly touched upon it there, Dan, and you see quite a lot of Watford. Javi Gracia back then at Vicarage Road. Did you see that coming from a while off, or is this a bit of a surprise?
I didn't see it coming. Apparently they were, you know, it's coming out now. There's talk they were looking to get him in the summer, but he had an accident, broke 8 ribs apparently in his home and wasn't ready to take the job at the time. So maybe Petzolano there was on a bit of a hiding to nothing. And when Grazia became available, he was always the man that they wanted. I think he certainly inherited a really good squad that people are going to criticise Watford because they're, 10th in the league after 9 games. But let me tell you, they have signed a lot of good players in the summer. There's a lot of individual quality there. And if Grazia, you know, comes in with the kind of freshness and the positivity and the tactical brain that he had the first time around at Watford, he's got a good chance of succeeding.
Yeah, we'll keep a close eye on what happens at Vicarage Road over the next few weeks. Derby is the selection in the Championship for Dan. Who are we looking at in League One, Dan?
Going to go with ex-Watford manager. There's a lot of them around. Tom Cleverley in charge of Plymouth, playing at home to Wimbledon. I think Plymouth at home will win this game. These two teams, Wimbledon have come up from League Two. Plymouth went down from the Championship. And kind of like the momentum, you know, continued, you know, positively for Wimbledon, negatively for Plymouth at the start of the season, where Wimbledon started well. Plymouth sort of struggled to get going, but that's starting to show signs of wearing off a little bit now. Plymouth have got 10 points in the last 5 games. Now, Wimbledon are on a decent run, but taking an isolation, their 1-1 draw at home to Port Vale last weekend was an ordinary performance. Port Vale were much a stronger team and should have won the game. So that would be a bit of a warning sign, I think, for me that Wimbledon are going to struggle, I think, to stay in the top 6. And a trip to Plymouth, who are now improving, and home park is a tough place to go to when Plymouth are playing well. I think Plymouth will be too strong.
Okay, so that is the Championship and League One covered. And League Two, who are we looking at here, Dan?
I'm going to go with Colchester to win at home to Harrogate. Now, these teams both on 14 points, but they're kind of going in different directions, I feel, at the moment. Colchester won their last 2 league games. Harrogate have lost their last 2 league games. Now, then the 2 wins for Colchester, I think they're probably like on both occasions. You could argue they're the best performances of the league to match day on those occasions. 6-2 at home to Chesterfield was an incredible performance, and apparently was well deserved. wasn't a fluke result. Then they've gone and won deservedly 2-1 away to Grimsby. Now that is another fantastic performance and result. They've got a striker on loan from Charlton, Micah and Bick, who's got 3 goals in his last 2 appearances. He looks an absolute handful. He's going to score a lot of goals until January, when Charlton may look to loan him to a higher level. But they're playing a Harrogate side. I say they've had a bit of a dip recently. Lost the game in front of the TV cameras that I watched, where they started well at home to Crewe, then got beat 2-1 at home, then went to Fleetwood and they led there as well, and ended up losing 3-2. So they're on a downer. Colchester on the up. Colchester to win this one.
Okay, so just a reminder of Dan's three EFL bets across the three leagues: Derby, Plymouth and Colchester. And it's James's turn now as we head out to the Premier League Bet Builder. So this week's Bet Builder is going to be on the biggest game of the weekend. It is Liverpool against Manchester United at Anfield. And what selections are we looking at here, Mills?
Yeah, we're going to kick off with Liverpool to win. I think it's easy to get kind of caught up in the mayhem of all these late goals in Liverpool's games. Let's take a step back. Let's look at the bigger picture. They were worthy champions last season, when Manchester United were terrible. I'm not sure Liverpool's standards have dropped that much this season, and I'm not sure United have improved at all. Liverpool have won 5 out of 5 at Anfield. I think they are going to be too strong for the Red Devils, so poor away from home for some time now. Really bad at Brentford in their last away fixture. And yeah, Liverpool to win, put their troubles from before the international break behind them. The second leg, I'm going for Dominic Szoboszlai to have 2 or more shots. We obviously are waiting on team news to find out whether he's going to start at right back or central midfield or number 10 or left wing. But wherever he plays, he seems to have been brilliant this season. Terrific start to the campaign. That continued with Hungary in the international break. He scored a late equaliser against Portugal this week. And he really has shown his versatility and class for Liverpool this season. Had 13 shots in his last 5 league games. Obviously, the pick of those was that brilliant free kick against Arsenal. And he also had 3 shots in the Champions League home win over Atletico Madrid. So I think Manchester United are going to struggle to keep him quiet. And we're going to wrap up the Bet Builder with Benjamin Sesko to commit 2 or more fouls. I think United are going to have to dig in and put themselves about if they're going to unsettle Liverpool at all. And that starts from the front. Sesko was booked 5 times in the Bundesliga last season for RB Leipzig, averaging 1.9 fouls per 90 minutes in the Premier League. Just looking at his tackles in their last game against Sunderland at home, he made 3 tackles. I think he's going to be even busier at Anfield, trying to break up Liverpool attacks and obviously trying to ruffle their centre-backs. So I think he'll be keen to impose himself at Anfield, but could end up attracting the referee's attention.
Okay, well, that's James's Bet Builder then for the Liverpool-Manchester United game. We'll move on now to the assist treble, where one selection from the three of us, and we'll start off, Dan, with your pick first. Who are you going with?
Yeah, Colchester to beat Harrogate. Like I said, the Colchester performances recently against Chesterfield and Grimsby as good as any other team in the division. I think they're going to be pushing up towards the playoff places. Harrogate, I think, are going to be kind of just trying to make sure that they avoid getting sucked in, towards the lower end of the table. I think they'll struggle there at Colchester.
James, what about your pick?
Yeah, I'm going for Swindon to win at Accrington in League Two. Swindon absolutely flying, won 6 of their last 7 in the league. Only defeat was at Salford, where they conceded an injury time goal to lose 3-2. And Accrington lost at home to struggling Newport last weekend. I think they're going to struggle again against Swindon, who won at Newport, even though top scorer Aaron Drynan was injured in the warm-up. But he should be back this weekend. I think they look a really tempting bet at odds against to win at Accrington.
2 League 2 selections from the guys. Then I'm going to hop up into League 1, and I'm going with Stockport to beat Exeter at around about 2-1 on. The hosts are up to 4th now after 3 wins and 2 draws in the last 5 matches. And Exeter have managed to secure 4 points from their last 2, but that included a bit of a smash-and-grab raid at Lincoln, where they were battered for long periods, got a late winner in that game, and then they followed that up with a home draw against fellow strugglers Reading, which wasn't particularly impressive. Stockport did the double over the Grecians last season as well with 2-0 wins, and I can see the Hatters coming out on top again this weekend. So we're going with Stockport, Colchester and Swindon as the hat-trick attempts this week. On the assist, we're going to cover the naps of the week next. And Dan, we'll start with your nap first.
Yeah, going to go with Plymouth at a shade of odds against the home to AFC Wimbledon. Plymouth are starting to find their feet now at the level for four wins in the last six home games in all competitions. So they're getting into their stride at home. And this looks like a tough trip for Wimbledon. They're in the top six at the moment, but looking at their performance against Port Vale last week, and I think a mid-table finish would be more realistic.
Miltz, what are you looking at in terms of the nap?
Yeah, I'm going for Cardiff to win and both teams to score against Reading in League One. Cardiff looked like serious promotion contenders, scoring plenty of goals at home. Their last home game was a 4-3 win over Leyton Orient. I'm expecting another entertaining one against Reading. Reading actually start the weekend in the relegation zone, but they've scored in their last nine matches. So I think they can land a blow on the Cardiff defence, but may end up losing the game in Wales.
OK, well, a big thanks to both Dan and James for their input this week on the assist. Don't forget, of course, to like, subscribe and comment on the Racing Post YouTube channel. Just a quick reminder as well that there'll be a Euro Assist show on Monday with a return of the Champions League next week. Some massive fixtures to look forward to in Europe's top club competition. The domestic version of the assist, of course, will be back next Thursday. But for now, enjoy your football this weekend. And as ever, please remember to gamble responsibly.